I better go ahead and get it over with, or else I'll lose my nerve. So, well, this week was really good. I learned a lot, and things I needed to learn. I was really looking forward more to a vacation than anything else. I was needing a break from work, and so I was very thankful that I had somewhat of a vacation from the world and being able to set aside time for the Lord and for my own personal soul, whatever. And one of the messages that really spoke to me this week, all of them were very good, and all of them had a special meaning to me, but the ones that really spoke to me the most was really the one that I didn't think it would. Like, when he got up there and gave the title of the message, I thought, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. That more applies to people that need to grow up, and that's the title of the message, was Time to Grow Up. But a lot of people would probably think that's a little bit, have a different opinion on that, because most people think I need to grow up and don't act my age or whatever. But which is probably true. But the message he was speaking on was from Ephesians 4, and I just want to read a couple of the verses that he preached on. Verse 1, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And then jump down to verse 12, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ." And he was talking about basically maturing in Christ, and how we need to mature in our walk with the Lord. And that just kind of hit home to me, because I know I've been kind of very stagnant in my walk and very cold even. And he said that he gave an example of a child. If a child is, you know, 2-3 years old and is not learning how to walk yet, hasn't even learned to talk or anything, then, you know, there's something wrong with the child. And, you know, that's kind of where I am right now with my walk with the Lord. And I should be so much farther along than I am. And that just really, really hit convicted me that I should be a lot farther along and maturing in Christ. And it's very easy for me, I know, to be tossed to and fro by every doctrine that's out there, and it's very easy for me to be convinced of anything that someone says. If someone tells me something, I usually believe them, you know, whether it's true or not. And it's very, very hard for me to just, you know, Let me look this over and read about it and study it for myself, you know, rather than just believing what I hear. So that's something that I struggle with. And then he was saying that, you know, if we do these things, then we are dishonoring the head of Christ. And that just really kind of stuck to me like a burr, that, you know, if I'm, you know, being tossed to and fro like Peter, you know, Peter was on the water. He was walking in the water, and he was believing, you know, when he was actually walking on the water, and then he started to sink because he was being tossed like the wind and not believing anymore. And so, anyway, that's just something that the Lord has been teaching me this week. And my desire is to not only walk closer to Christ, but to be more conformed to his image.
I would say that over the years, Katie and I have learned something. Katie got it done. Now she can enjoy the rest of the service. And I had the privilege of preaching last Sunday morning so I could enjoy the rest of the week. So many of the preachers were under the burden. And it's like being set free.
Okay, so this happened last year. Katie took my testimony again last year. So, well, this year was a much better year for me at camp. Last year was really rough, but it was still great. But I loved the Bible study, all the devotions. But I especially liked our cabin had a study through 2 Peter. And it was 2 Peter 1 through 9, but I really liked 3 through 9. And it was talking about what characteristics we need to have if we're growing in faith. And it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, which charity is also love. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And that study we went through was just really, really beneficial to me, because so many of these things, you know, from the outside it feels like you can do them, but you know in your heart you can't. And if they're not in you and they aren't abounding, then you're blind and you can't see afar off. And so that really convicted me that I need to be growing. Like Katie said, I need to be growing. And I've heard, you know, if you're not growing, then you're moving backwards. You can't just be standing still. So that was just, it was really, really convicting. So I feel like I'm ready to come home and face life again and start growing closer to the Lord.
All right. It was certainly a blessing to be at camp for one more year. I was happy that this year, I don't believe we had any major trauma as far as staph infections or chicken pox goes. So I was Ian's a little under the weather, but I don't think it's anything too traumatic. So it was a blessing to be at camp and to be able to be there this year and not hold up in a bed and breakfast in a hotel 10 miles away. I really enjoyed the entire week. I got to be a counselor, a lead counselor for the first time. So that was a blessing, and it was a challenge for Luke and I. Luke was my assistant. We led 10, 12 to 16 year old guys for the entire week. So that including Joshua and Sam. So hopefully we didn't beat up on them too bad. But it was a really good time. We had a lot of fun, and it was a challenge and a blessing to lead those guys. And as the Lord would have it, the message that Katie and Hannah have both talked about was the message that really spoke to me as well. Seems that was just a theme. That theme of growth in the Lord was something that we all needed. And I know that it's something that we need, not just at camp, but it's something that we need the other 51 weeks out of the year. It's easy to go to camp and to have an expectation that the Lord's going to, as it were, strike us with bolts of heavenly lightning, as it were, and we're going to have this tremendous experience that's going to give us this fix, as it were, for the remainder of the year. And while it's a blessing to see the Lord come down in such power as we saw him move 5 years ago, like Dad mentioned at the beginning of the service, we've seen that. We've seen the Lord come in just very external, obvious ways, and where young people are just broken and crying out to him, and we're just experiencing just that tremendous sense of his presence. But we also, while we look for that, and when that happens, we're thankful for that outward demonstration of the Spirit of God. the Spirit of God is not limited to just working in external ways. And that was a comfort to my heart, especially leading 10 younger guys in the cabin who, you know, still you can't have too high of an expectation for younger guys at certain points in their experience to have all the passion for Christ that you might expect of someone older. So that was an encouragement to me to realize the Lord is able to do things even apart from there being an obvious external sense of even revival blessing, that there's that the Lord is always working through the Word. When the Word is open, when the Word's preached, and when it's open in the chapel, when it's open in the times of cabin devotions, the Lord's working. And this is one of the major reasons that I go to camp, and that I believe that our church supports camp, that even the denomination has camp. There are seeds planted through the Word, through the Spirit at camp that we may not see the fruit for years to come. So let's let that be an encouragement to all of it. It was an encouragement to me to think through it that way. And even the message that Katie and Hannah mentioned was a tremendous challenge to me by our pastor, David McClellan, from the New Hampshire congregation. The title of his message again was very simply, Grow Up. And he said, he used a very striking analogy, a very striking illustration that really got a hold of my attention. He said that a lady, a school teacher, who had been in that occupation for 25 years, was interviewing for another position at a different school where she hadn't been, obviously. And the administrator turned her down. And she protested. She said, well, I've got these 25 years of experience. You know, why are you turning me down? And the simple reply was, well, you don't really have 25 years of experience. You have 1 year of experience that you have repeated 25 times. And that convicted me. And Pastor McClellan used that as a challenge to us, that how often do we as believers, we repeat kind of the same old so many times, the same old rut, as it were, without moving on with the Lord and growing day by day. And he said that one of his major fears, even about camp, is that we go looking maybe for a spiritual fix that's gonna do us spiritually for the other 51 weeks of the year. And while camp has such tremendous spiritual blessings, he encouraged the young people, encouraged the staff, he encouraged everyone to use camp as just an addition to the ordinary means of grace, that day by day we would be growing in the things of God. That, again, as Katie and Hannah said, we wouldn't be stagnant, just staying at a certain point with the Lord and not moving on, but that we would be in the Word more and more, that we would be soaking in the gospel, what we know that Christ has done for us, and moving on with the Lord. And that was a challenge to me, because I realized that I needed that I needed to get alone with the Lord, cry out to Him, that He would work a spirit that would be open to spiritual growth, even within me, once again. And just I'm going to reread one verse. Katie's already read it, but I just want to point out a couple things from a different angle than what she was talking about, and then I'll be done. But just verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 4 says, but speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into Him, that's Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And he made the point that we must grow up into Him in all things, not just one area. It's not just one area of our graces in which we grow. It's not just growing up in the area of mercy and not growing in truth. It's not just growing in gentleness without growing in all the other fruits of the Spirit. He said we need to be balanced in the way that we grow, and to seek the Lord for grace to grow in every single area as we rely upon Jesus Christ. And he pointed us to Christ. He said we cannot have a real spiritual maturity apart from that maturity being a Christ-centered maturity. It's not so much us pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps as it is reveling in what God has done for us in the gospel, and then realizing that Christ is the true vine, and that without Him we can truly do nothing, even when it comes to spiritual growth. But then in closing, he made a point that really struck me once again. He said he encouraged the young people, encouraged everyone there to be committed to the local church. He said he made the statement that the local church is the classroom in which spiritual growth occurs. And he said you really can't grow in Christ, you can't move forward in Christ without committing unreservedly to the local church. And that struck just a chord with my own heart, that just to pray for the young people, that they would be committed to the local church, to its ordinances, to the preaching, to the prayer of that local church, and that I would renew my commitment as well. So that was a challenge and also a blessing to hear that verbalized, even at youth camp, that we would see young people commit unreservedly to the cause of Jesus Christ, even in its visible local expressions. And because that's how we grow, being committed to the local church. And it was, again, it was a blessing to just get to share devotionals and other things with the ten young guys that Luke and I had the privilege of leading. Mm-hmm. And really just praying for them that the Lord would continue to show Christ to them. It's a blessing to see what he is doing. And there were a couple of the guys I was really excited about, the way that they prayed, the way that they had desires for the word and for prayer. And I just pray that those things would continue. And I would ask all of you to pray as well. Don't neglect to pray for the campers day by day, to pray for the young people, to keep them before the throne of Christ. It's something I need to do. It's something that we all need to do. And even this prayer, Ephesians chapter 3, toward the end, Dr. Allison actually preached on this Monday night. It's a tremendous prayer to pray for the young people. And I'm just going to close reading these verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through the end of the chapter. Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."
Well, I kind of had testimony A and testimony B, as seen as how testimony A has kind of been hit on three times in a row. I better get up before Judah goes. This was probably one of my most favorite weeks at camp for lots of different reasons. But the preaching was really good. It was a blessing to my soul. And like Katie, I was really looking forward to a vacation. I don't think I had a vacation, if you can call it a vacation, going to camp since camp last year. And I actually got more sleep at camp than I do when I'm at home working. So that was really a blessing. At about halfway through the week, I was kind of getting discouraged because I hadn't really gotten to talk to anybody in any of our campers about anything really serious. And that's what Jeremiah and I were there for, was to talk to them about their souls. And so like what Jeremiah was saying earlier about, they were all good kids. They all behaved, other than locking us out, I think twice, once intentionally and the other time unintentionally. The first time we got pounded with pillows when we went in there. And then the second time I had to unlock it with a card because nobody else was in there. But that was about all the adventure that we had this year. But anyway, the preaching was really good. It was what I needed for my own soul. And the message that Jeremiah and Katie and Hannah have all talked about was a special blessing to me. But it ended a little bit different. One of the points that they haven't talked about. And that was the point about growing in Christ and being dependent on him. I'm a very independent kind of person. And for those of y'all that haven't figured that out. And that's a good thing, but it doesn't work spiritually. We cannot be independent spiritually. And so just to hear it preached that we need to grow independence in Christ, and that's the lesson that I've been learning about the last year, and especially like the last 6 months with my job and everything. And I mean, I pretty much complained to all y'all, and y'all know that starting off, it was not very fun, but the only way that I've even been able to get through with all of it and get to now was depending on Christ, because it's really hard to go on a little bit of sleep and live life at the same time. But the only way that I've been able to do that is through Christ. And I want to grow more in Him and just get to know Him better, even through the trials, because we're going to have trials all the time. And, you know, we're not going to just reach this state where there's not going to be any more trials and life will just coast along. But we're either going forward or we're going backward. So that was the message that they've already talked about. But then on Thursday morning, we were able to go to the staff prayer meeting. Usually the camper, well, three mornings, the campers and the counselors have prayer times in the cabins with just their cabin. But then two mornings each week, we go and have a staff prayer meeting. And the staff prayer meetings are always a blessing. It's awesome to be able to hear people pray. Like, you know, people that are a lot older and have so much more experience. And the prayer meetings have always just been a blessing to my soul. And Dr. Allison read from Ezekiel 37 about the Valley of Dry Bones. And that was kind of what I was feeling like. You know, here we have, you know, all these campers. They're good kids. And, you know, I wanted to see, you know, just a revival where nobody wanted to do anything but pray and sing and read their Bibles and talk about the Lord. But I think the Lord did a lot more, probably, that we'll see, like Jeremiah was saying, way off down the road. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to read the first six verses of Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And it goes on, but those verses in particular were a blessing to me, because even if we didn't see immediate fruit, you know, right away last week, the seed was planted, and the Lord's word never returns to him void. And I mean, usually I hardly ever cry or anything like that. And in that prayer meeting, I mean, the Lord just really broke my heart. Mm-hmm. And I really can't explain it. Mm-hmm. But I believe that the Lord will do something in the future, mm-hmm. through this week. But this past week at camp really encouraged me. And yes, it was kind of the mountaintop experience that I've been needing. I don't really want to look at it that way, because Satan has a way of coming up and slapping us down on our faces when we look at it that way. But it really was an encouragement to my soul. And now I would just really appreciate y'all praying for us, praying for the campers. Because the Lord will make sure that his word doesn't return void. And even there were, I'm sure, very many dry bones, dead souls that need spiritual life. And my prayer is that the Lord would even, you know, sometime very soon get a hold of those kids' hearts. There weren't really any obviously bad kids like there have been, you know, years and years ago. But I know in my own life it's easy to put on a show. Being a preacher's kid, you can put on a show and everybody can think you're a Christian, but you have to live with yourself. And my prayer would be for those kids that the Lord would get a hold of their hearts and convict them. Because head knowledge isn't going to save. And we have to grow up in Christ and get to know Him and depend on Him. So it just really was a blessing for my heart. And I had a really good time in all the various activities and all of that. And I'm really thankful I was able to go.
It's really a wonderful situation because the camp is built around prayer. And the morning he's talking about, the two mornings that 80 campers meet with the ordained minister. There's an ordained minister that goes and meets with them, and they have their prayer meeting. And it was in one of those prayer meetings 5 years ago that the Spirit of God fell in a mighty way. And it was just absolutely overwhelming because kids were coming out crying. They were wanting somebody to point them to the Lord. And that was amazing. But the staff prayer meetings he's talking about go on every morning, but not all the counselors get to come to the staff prayer meetings every morning. But that particular morning, Dr. Allison spoke on the Valley of Dry Bones. And that was a great blessing to me for the week. Not the first time to be there with Ezekiel 37, but it was a tremendous thing. And then the mornings that they don't have the big assembly, the staff's all praying together, and the counselors are having a special prayer time with their cabins. And then they have times at night when the preachers come in to the cabins and they can lead the cabin devotions themselves at night. And then there's a time each day when the young people meet with God alone and do their own personal devotional. So that's really, really a great blessing.
Well, as has already been said, it's been a great week last week at camp. I was grateful for the opportunity to be able to come. This year is a little different for me because I was assistant counselor this year as opposed to just being on staff like last year. And I wasn't overly prepared because for various reasons I didn't know until a week before we left for camp. So I was a little kind of uneasy just not knowing exactly what to, you know, what all is I should be prepared for. So, but it was good. In many ways, it just felt like being a camper again because we had to clean up the cabin every day, which we didn't have to do as staff, which was nice. But anyway, we had to get up early, you know, early in time to be able to shower and all that. So, and be able to clean up the cabin. And so, in many ways, it did feel like a camper, but I don't know. I guess I was kind of a middle guy between the camper and counselor, just so I could, you know, be closer to the guys, have more, you know, just more close times with the guys, as opposed to the counselor just being head of the whole thing. So, in that way, it was a blessing because I got to really know the guys. And for other reasons, our cabin was basically reduced to two campers because one was sick and had to go home, and another one was homesick, and they happened to be in the same from the same state, so they went by together. So it was kind of interesting. We had seven guys in our cabin as opposed to nine. So I don't know. In many ways, it was a blessing in that we all got really close towards the end of the week. It was kind of open. We had opportunities just to really have a close time in the devotions and everything like that. Adam Acree from Greenville was my counselor, and I had met him once, but I really got to be able to have a good time with him. I really enjoyed his company, and he's just a really great guy. He's head of the youth group at Greenville now, so he just really has a heart for young people and can really just really, I don't know, he just was able to work with them very well, I think. As far as the messages go, pastor's opening message, you know, just kind of set the tone for me. His was actually after Chuck's introductory message on Ephesians, just the whole book. But pastors on Ephesians 1, just verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And that phrase, accepted in the beloved, was really the tone for the week for me. And in the devotional booklets, that was kind of the overall message. Just how God accepts us and why God has accepted us, and just it was amazing to consider, just kind of go back to the great blessing that the gospel is. And in many ways, the first three chapters of Ephesians just lay out the fundamentals of the gospel, and the last three is the practical side of Christianity. And it's in light of the amazingness of the gospel that we are able to walk as Christians. So that was a blessing. And Luke stole my thunder about Dr. Allison on Thursday. Really, these camp messages are really the best type of messages to hear, because the preachers just really open up their hearts. You really see their burden for souls to be saved. And it's the camp messages that you really think that if anybody's going to be saved, it's through these type messages. So in many ways, it's kind of discouraging to see not all, an overwhelming work of God, many souls being saved, because you expect it. It's those types of messages that you kind of think that's what's going to save people. But like Dr. Allison said, preaching can only do so much. It can get to our ears, but in order for that preaching to sink into the hearts, it's the work of God. We can only rattle the bones of the dead bones in the valley. What really brings life is what God told Ezekiel. He said, prophesy to the wind, and these bones shall live. So we must pray for the Spirit of God to go behind the preaching, to drive the preaching into the hearts. And I think that was a great blessing to me, and also talking with, it was actually Tuesday night, I was kind of discouraged that the two campers left. And I was talking to Pastor Kimbrough about it, and he said, they heard three messages on Sunday, and they heard the devotionals in the cabin. So you just have to trust the seeds that have been planted. They will do the work, if God has a means for it. And so that was that was actually my night for the devotions. So it was a blessing to know that, however much I think my efforts fail, it's not about me. All I can do is rattle the bones. God alone can give life, but he uses the foolishness of preaching, as it were, to give life through his Spirit. And along those same lines, Pastor Kimbrough's really spoke to me. His was from Ephesians 5, and just the verse on walking circumspectly. I thought that meant just, I don't know, I never really understood that verse, but he just said it basically just means accurately, walk accurately as believers. And he's the one that stressed that it's just out of the great truths from chapters 1 through 3 that we're able to walk accurately from there. So that was a blessing. And he said, that verse 15, chapter 5, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly or accurately, not as fools, but as wise. The world, they walk, but they're fools because they don't understand what's happening. We as Christians know what's going on, as it were, because our eyes have been opened. We know what's going on because God has given us his word that tells us, why this world is in such a bad way because of sin, but it's because of what Christ has done. That's how we're able to walk accurately. And also, and verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that just really went along with the lines of, that pastor's been preaching on Wednesday night for a while about the Spirit of God and His working in our lives. And, we have to be filled with the Spirit in order to grow, as Pastor McClellan preached about. And that's ultimately what's needed across the board, preaching, living the Christian life. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. And that's just been such a rebuke to me, knowing that I should be praying every day for God's Spirit to be with me and to help me to walk accurately, not as the world, not as fools, but because I know what's going on, to be able to walk as a Christian as I should. And also just the whole week, really, I wish I could say more, but Dr. Allison's message on chapter 3, Jeremiah mentioned the prayer at the end, starting at 16, but that whole thing the climax is 19, that we might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. We often consider, we need to love God more, and that's true. But how do we love God more? That we might know more of Christ's love to us. And that's ultimately what motivates us to love God more, because we consider the great depths of the love of God toward us. And as Chuck said, the length, the breadth, the width, that we might know the love of Christ, the fullness of the love. We'll never be able to see how much God loves us. Even in heaven, we'll still be amazed by God's love. We'll never stop being amazed at God's love. And that's just amazing. And, the but God from Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy, loves us, sent his son to die for us. I think that ultimately is what really blessed me the most, is just refocusing on what Christ has done for us. And through that, to be able to live life for God. And, as Pastor McClellan said about growth, we often, and as Jeremiah said, we often view this camp as our spiritual fix, as it were. And in many ways, it is kind of that way, and it should be the highlight, or one of the highlights of our year. But not so much a highlight, but more of a climax of a steady, constant growth. It shouldn't, on a graph, it shouldn't just be slope, high point, and then constant decline. But it should be a steady incline, and then the camp is just really boosts it that much more. So that should be the climax of a year well spent growing in God's grace, knowing more of God's love, and just being amazed at the gospel, because it truly is amazing grace.
I was thinking, as Judah was saying there, you hear so many great sermons at camp, and it wasn't until the third year that I was there that the Lord saved me. And I remember, I was, as a lost person, I was just, obviously I went away rebellious a bit. The Lord really used that to impress me. I had never been in services of that caliber, at least where God made me at least consciously aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I remember one year, I wouldn't say that year, first or second year, Pastor John Greer preached from the Psalms. I don't remember what he preached, I just remember it from the Psalms. And I remember thinking to myself, that's a man of God. It was unbelievable. I wasn't even saved because of it. But, the Lord can take those services, and he can bring back to mind memories. He can bring back even bring you back to camp again and again until he opens your eyes and saves you. And you know, I look back and even in my own family, my brothers and sister, and I just see God's faithfulness. Even years later down the road, and God is faithful. God is faithful. So we have another favorite to sing. Yes, sir. 288. I made sure to make a point of mentioning that too. Was it last year? To Brother Stair, Brother Carper, to give them encouragement that, you know, it was just at that time, God had just done a marvelous work in one of my siblings. So fruit goes on. Fruit is bore. If not in the seasons of attendance, then years down the road. So we praise God for it. Number 288, I hear the words of love. Thinking also while we were singing, I want to put in a plug of an advertisement for you parents who have not had the opportunity to be in some of those services and experience them. And that there's an opportunity coming up in 2 years, is it not, in the summer, to go to Northern Ireland. I was having a Skype chat session with John Greer Jr. on Saturday, Pat, a son of the pastor I just mentioned who preached at camp. And they are very excited even now about that. And if you want to meet people and you want to be in services, you parents, where you can experience something of this, it's just very unusual to be with people who have been shot at and spit upon and fruit thrown at them. And their faces are aglow with the love of God. It really is a remark. It changed my life. It really is something that you can't put into words. And if ever there was an investment of your time that would be worth it for you as a family, would be to go with us. My thoughts are the only way I'm not going to go is if somebody's already shot me and I'm dead. But that is seriously the value that I place after having gone. And I know I've told most of you, but there's maybe two or three who haven't heard this story. I just remember going over there and we were in the Paisley complex having shortbread, whatever they have over those little cookies and tea. You're always being shoved hot tea and shortcake or shortbread, whatever. Constantly they're shoving food at you. But this man walks up to me out of nowhere, and he's in his middle 50s, and he grabs me by the arms, and he says, "Brother, it's been 6 months since I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb." I said, "Glory, praise God, I'm ready, here are you." But, I mean, it was great. It was really great, and it changed my life. And so I hope that you can you can go with us, because it will change your life too. I think I can count on that. So anyway, we have time for another testimony or two. Yes, sir.
Well, camp was really fun, and it was really good having Jared and Luke as my counselors, and it's just really nice to get away from the normal hustle and bustle of life and to get alone with God. And that is really cool, because Dr. Barrett Jr. was he gave an overview of the Ephesians, and the rest of the preachers spoke on one chapter, and it was really a blessing.
Take another favorite song. Yes, ma'am. 525, okay? Trust and obey. Let's go ahead and stand. Stretch your legs for a minute. And we'll sing this together. It says when we walk with the Lord, so we'll stand as we sing.
Fellow. shall sleep. We will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen. You may be seated. We have time for maybe one more. Anyone at all? And if not, that's fine.
All right. I'm not going to go long now. We have, you know, I'm not a long-winded preacher. We've done pretty well, all these young people. And we are very thankful. We got to spend some time with our brother, Chris Killen, who came from Northern Ireland. And his mother prayed for him for so many years. She was a member of Mr. Douglas's congregation in Northern Ireland, a great servant of God. And he rebelled against all of his mother's teaching, the church's teaching, and he went out into drug addiction. And he was a drunk, and he was lost. And he came even to the point of overdosing for the purpose of taking his own life. We have his life story in the church library, his book, On the Brink. And I was so glad to be able to hear him on Thursday night. And he preached, and I know many people were touched by the message. And I want to encourage all of those who were workers there, because there were young people that were very concerned for their souls and expressed that concern. We are very thankful. And I'm very thankful as a minister. Even today, after the meeting, a man asked me about the serious matters of the soul. And he took home with him some things to read and to ponder and consider concerning the great matters of knowing for certain that we're in Christ. So that is very encouraging. And I believe that God is going to do even greater things. And you know, our young people have been greatly impacted by this camp. Ernie came to Christ there, started seeing changes in that young man as a result of that camp. And I said, maybe he will marry my daughter after all. And it was amazing how the Lord worked as a result of that camp. The Lord called Jeremiah to preach there. The Lord touched so many of our young people, even those that are married and living in other states. We praise God for what he has done in so many there. So we're going to close the service in prayer. It's been good for us to be here. And we appreciate the musicians giving us the special treat tonight of strings and wind. Strings and wind. So let us stand together and we'll have a closing word of prayer.